here in church tonight. Glad that you're here with us. I'm about to drop everything here. Get myself together. All right. But I also wanted to mention on our calendar, kids, if you're practicing for a children's rally, you can go ahead back and get ready, practice up. After I was able to go and watch last year and watch our kids do a really good job at the children's rally, it was a blessing to see the hard work and the effort and for them to be rewarded for doing that. Praise the Lord for those things. I did want to mention as well on our calendar on the Sunday night, the 30th, it's the fifth Sunday night of the month, we are going to have a family night. So what is a family night? Family night is, well, you've done something similar to, I forget what you guys called it, but it's basically just kind of a relaxed service where we want to just have people involved. People involved like yourselves, young people, and just involved in being a part of the service where you're not having to just hear me the whole time, but we get to kind of rejoice with one another. So that family night, we'll probably just do some Bible games. Looking for some specials as well. Maybe some families that want to sing together and don't often sing together, or if you have a special group of people, a special in a group of people, all right? Not a special group of people, all right? But a group of people that want to sing something, you don't feel comfortable doing it on a Sunday morning, but you want to be able to just praise the Lord. It's kind of our judgment-free zone, all right, is what we kind of want it to be. We just want to enjoy the Lord and allow people that don't normally get those chances to have a part in the service and just be able to praise the Lord together and enjoy ourselves. And so there's going to be no nursery that night. That means if there's a baby making noise, well, we're just going to have to deal with it, all right? But we just want everybody to be in and everybody to be a part of what's going on. And so we don't have any expectations for anything, but just want to enjoy ourselves for that. So if you are interested as a man, you are interested and you think the Lord has burdened something on your heart and you want to preach for 5 minutes or so, please come and see me and we can talk about that. Like I said, we just want to be able, it's good to be able to hear from one another and to be able to give some testimonies and to be able to sing unto the Lord. I understand Sunday morning there could be people that we're not used to and it feels a little more rigid and maybe we kind of go through the things we do. But it's also, that's often why Sunday nights are my favorite service of the week, is because you're here because you want to be here and we just want to serve the Lord and praise the Lord together and enjoy the things of the Lord. So that's going to be our attempt here and we're going to do that the last Sunday of this month will be our first family night of the year. The intent is to do it for every month that has 5 Sundays in the month. So this year, I think it's only 3 times this year, so it's not like it's going to be a all-the-time thing, but just to change it up a little bit and be able to enjoy the fellowship with each other. So we'll do those things. We'll plan for that. Also wanted to mention that there was a hand raised for salvation this morning, but the person was saved. They just wanted to kind of know what to do next. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with someone just kind of trying to get someone's attention and say, hey, what do I do now? I'm saved now, but what's the next steps that I do in my life? How do I serve the Lord now? What do I do? And so those are positive things, so praise the Lord for that. And just continue to pray. The Lord just works on people's hearts and lives, and we want the Holy Spirit to do that, including tonight. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 15. We are going to continue with our series here on praising the Lord. Praising the Lord is the only thing we've talked about so far. We will talk about worshiping the Lord as well. We will make some distinctions there, but praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And so far we've looked at people of praise and who should be praising the Lord and the easy answer for that. Of course, as preachers, we don't do the easy answer, right? That just is too short. We do the long answer. But the easy answer is everybody. Everybody that is saved should be praising the Lord in our lives and with our mouths. And we looked at that, the upright and those that suffer and the discouraged and those that are happy. And everyone should be praising the Lord. We looked at the importance of praise and we ran some scripture there and understood that David thought it was so important that he established individuals to their job was to praise the Lord. And we're going to look at some of those individuals tonight, but their objective was to praise the Lord. He said, hey, we should be praising the Lord all the time, and we have a whole bunch of things going on, so I'm going to designate certain groups of people here. Your job is to praise the Lord, because we don't want that to be missed. And so if other people are doing other things and we're not praising the Lord as we should, we still have a group of people that are established to praise the Lord. And David did that, and we looked at those things. We looked then at praise with purpose. That was last week, praise with purpose. And we ran a bunch of references of praising the Lord with our whole heart and praising the Lord according to His righteousness and in the midst of the congregation and continually and in praising the Lord with much people. And we spent some time there on praising the Lord to other generations. And so, you know, this hits home to me. I have children, and I want them to understand that my praise to the Lord should be seen, and they should hear it, and they should know my praise to the Lord so that they understand how to praise the Lord and why we praise the Lord and what we do. And so those things are important. We looked at that. But tonight we're going to look to praise the Lord with singing. Praise the Lord. We just did some, right? So you all can pat yourself on the back. We feel pretty good about that. But we can also look at what the Bible has to say about it in this idea of praising the Lord with singing. Romans chapter number 15. Let's go ahead and look in verse number 4. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind, with one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your kindness to us. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be moved and our hearts would be stirred this evening as we look again at praising you and one way in which we can praise you, and that is to sing. Thank you for the opportunities we have in church to sing and lift up our voices unto you. And Lord, I don't mean with professionalism. I don't mean even having to be on the right notes. Lord, I just mean to sing out with our voices and sing out unto you. Lord, you gave us our voices, and man has established what sounds good and what doesn't sound good, but Lord, you can see through all of that, and you just desire praise. You're worthy of praise. And Lord, thank you that we can lift up our voices and we can sing unto you. Thank you for those that wrote the songs and the psalms and the spiritual songs, and we can sing those their burdens and their words, but we can sing those unto you to praise your name. And Lord, it does our hearts good to sing unto you. And Lord, thank you again for your words in your book, in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at this thing about praise the Lord with singing. Now, as I was praying, we kind of have some preconceived notions about this, and we have this idea that there are certain individuals that sing good and certain individuals that don't sing good, and those that sing good should do all the singing, and those that don't sing good should find another talent, right? Find another way to do something unto the Lord. But when we read through the Scriptures and we look at some Scriptures, we're going to find out that that's not what's most important. Now, sometimes it was set aside and it was designated in that way, and there is a purpose for those things. We'll talk about a little bit of that tonight. But in general, this idea of singing unto the Lord is something that all of us can do. Now, I said there's varying different scales. You know, you hear some people sing and you're like, wow, that is really good. And you hear other people sing and they've varied about two notes on the whole song. You know, they've just kind of kept the whole song was pretty much right there. They were singing words, but there was no melody. It was just a bumping along of different things. But like I said, God understands. God knows. And God is not... I don't know what it's going to sound like when we get to heaven. I mean, maybe you envision some of the best choirs we've heard sing and the beauty of it and everything. And we say, man, heaven must sound like that. I mean, man, that's what it's like. But I don't know. I think sometimes our humanity gets in the way of what might be a reality. This singing of praise, when we have opportunities to lift up our voices and sing unto the Lord, I think there's a lot of people that can't carry a tune in a bucket, right? That's one of the sayings. And yet they praise the Lord more than those that are singing with perfect pitch. And so I think the Lord is much more interested in what's going on in our hearts and what's coming out of our mouths in praise to Him than He is interested in our professionalism. All right, and we can understand this and know this, and we can see some of these things in the world, because in churches now, the only people that are allowed to sing in a lot of churches are the professionals, the ones that people deem good enough to sing in churches. And in a lot of different places, they've come down to where there's a talented group of people that are in charge of leading the songs, and they do the entertaining, and you worship the Lord by listening to them. And I'm just not for that. I'm not for that. Now, we do have specials, and we are kind of choosy sometimes with what happens with that. But that's why the bulk of our singing in church is congregational singing. Why? Because you don't have to audition for congregational singing. You know what you do? You grab a blue or a white hymn book and you open up your mouth and you sing the words to the best of your ability unto God. And then He gets praised because of it. And you can't replace that. Now we have a song leader that stands here and is skillful in what's it do? They're directing traffic, right? That's what a song leader does. It directs traffic. It tells you when to come in on the verse. And waves some arms. There is some purpose to it, and goes through. And what's it do? All right, we're singing the second verse now, right? And it's kind of directing traffic to what happens. God is not the author of confusion. You know what I mean? We don't want half the church singing the second verse and half the church singing the third verse, and we want everybody to be on the same songs, right? So, but when we sing together, congregational singing. What is it? Lift up your voices and sing unto the Lord. That's the purpose of it. So we can praise the Lord with singing, and we see that here in verse number 9, and sing unto thy name. Turn back to Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. A few weeks ago we looked at this, these verses here. We looked at some of these things, and to see them again, of what's happening is the children of Israel have just come over the Red Sea in Exodus 14, and God brought back the waters and covered the chariots and the horsemen and the host of the Pharaoh and all of them. And in chapter number 15, they're standing on the other side of the Red Sea. Egypt is on that side. They're standing on this side in the wilderness, and the waters are not even really calm yet from everything that has just happened and the destruction of the army and the destruction of Pharaoh and the freedoms that they now feel and understanding that God has brought them through that. And chapter number 15, the Bible says, verse number 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Look in verse number 9. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? What's happening in the nation of Israel here, we find in verse number 1 is, all together with Moses, they lifted up their voices and they sang and they spake these words unto God, in praise unto the Lord for what He had done. In praise unto Him. What did they do? They sang. They sang. Who was singing? Everybody was singing. Everybody that knew the words, and everybody else was humming along, right? They were singing unto the Lord. They were singing unto God. They were singing unto the Lord His praises. Why? Because of the victory that God had given them and the things that the Lord had done for them. And what did they do? They sang out unto the Lord. Look in Judges chapter number 5. We're going to turn quite a bit this evening. Judges chapter number 5. We're going to turn quite a bit. We're going to see and understand. The Bible has a decent amount to say about singing. We're certainly not going to look at all the references. We'd be here quite a long time. But you can look it up with yourself and do a Bible study. You can see this idea of singing unto the Lord is found often in the Word of God. Judges chapter number 5, verse number 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear ye, O kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Again, it's another victory. It's another victory here. Jael has killed Sisera, and we see that in chapter number 4, and he was against the armies of Israel, and Jael puts him to sleep, and then takes the stake and what? Drives it through his head, right? Whew, tough woman right there. She knew how to get the job done, right? I think, you might be sleeping with one eye open around her. Let her fall asleep first. That's the idea, right? But they have a victory. And so Deborah and Barak, they sing unto the Lord. And what do? They sing praise unto the Lord God of Israel. That's the purpose, is we're singing praise unto the Lord. And we can have our attitudes changed by the singing that we can do unto the Lord, or hearing the singing. We can have our attitudes changed and we can be encouraged. And it's one of the ways we can praise the Lord is by lifting up our voices and singing. Singing unto God. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. First Chronicles chapter 13, verse number 8. This is David bringing back the ark, trying to bring it back to the city of David, and we see in verse verse 8. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. Now, they're bringing back the ark, and they're doing it the wrong way. They put it on a cart, and this is the story of Uzzah, and God kills him because he reaches his hand out and touches the ark and all those things. But they were bringing back the ark, and before the Lord, here in verse number 8, David and all Israel played before God with all their might. With all their might. That's an attitude that we can have in our singing. Now, I understand a lot of different factors play into how we sing, but some of these things we just need to get over ourselves. A lot of this thing about praising the Lord, as I've went over and over and over, is just us getting over ourselves, just in our idea of how we should act and what other people, how they think we should act, and how we should handle ourselves, and how church should be. Listen, if you came out of religion, you came out of, a lot of rules, and, you go into places and you have to be pretty quiet because you don't want to wake God up. We come here, there's a time when we come, we be religious, we hold ourselves together, we do things a certain way, and then the preacher or whatever he's called, he brings God out for a little bit, and then we put him back, and then we go about our business. But that's not that's religion. That's not a personal relationship with the Lord. That's not a personal relationship with God. Right, that's just religion. That's just coming in and doing your duty and paying your dues and punching your time clock and coming in when you're because you're supposed to come in and do all of that. But that's not what a relationship with the Lord is. A relationship with the Lord is realizing He's the creator of the universe and loved me enough to send His Son to die for me. And man, that is something. That is something different than religion. And so the Bible says here that they played before God with all their might and with singing and then the harps and these different instruments. Singing should have some feeling and some emotion to it. I understand I was brought up in a musical family and we would sing, and when we got old enough we would sing specials and do all those kind of things, and it's like, well, if you're going to sing, people need to hear you. So sing out, right? And so that whole process, and you kind of, as you get older and some of those formative years, you start to become more self-aware and realize, oh, people are looking at me now. That's why you end up with the people being afraid of the microphones and everything. That's why I don't want people to really hear me. I just want people to kind of hear me, you know? And all the other kind of things that go on. But when we're singing in large groups, right, the idea is we should be singing out. We should have some energy. It should be, as Pastor Bailey would say, it should be militant. Why? Because some of these songs are marches, and some of these songs have, these words have feeling, and these words have emotion, and they were written by people that were praising God, and we're going through real things in our lives, and we can read the songs and find ourselves in these places. In these verses, we can find ourselves saying, this is where I am right now, and how should we react to that? We should open our mouths, and we should sing out unto the Lord. We should be heard. Listen, people can say whatever they want to say, but you can't help but wonder what's going on in people's hearts and in their spirits when you look during the song service and people are just... I'm like thinking to myself, sing out! What's going on? What's happening? I know we can be down and we can be discouraged sometimes, and it's gonna, but man, we should be able to encourage one another and come to church and say, I'm looking something from God. And man, part of that can be our own. We're in control of our own attitude and our own spirit. And we can just look at the songs and say, man, I'm just going to sing out unto the Lord. I'm just going to lift up my voice and sing out unto the Lord. You go visit some churches, or you travel around, or you go somewhere and maybe you're on vacation and try to find a church, or maybe you're out and about, or you're at someone else's church or another relative, or you have to go to support a family member or something, and you get there and they start singing the song, and whew, right? The idea is we don't want to sing like someone just died, right? We don't want to, you know, shh, just keep it down. We don't want to sing too loud. No, we should come in and praise the Lord and lift up our voices and sing unto God. Why not? What's the excuse? Well, I don't sing good. We're going to look at some things, and it's not an excuse in the Bible. It's not there. Well, what are people going to think of me? Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting to the root of why a lot of people won't praise God the way He desires to be praised, the way He asks you to praise Him, is because, well, that's just not what we do here. I don't know what we do here. Let's do something different here. Hey, we're on a roll, right? I mean, we've been 6 months of like, this is different. Right? I mean, we're on a roll. So why don't we do something different? Why don't you step out and try something different? Step out and try something different in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, man, Christian life sometimes can be boring. Then do something different. Right? I mean, let's change it up. Let's see what's going on. Well, you know what I might do? I might just try to praise the Lord a little bit more and see what happens in my walk with the Lord. Give it a shot. What do you have to lose? What, you're going to give Him praise? What's going to happen? You're going to get... Man, if you can't... Like I said before, if you can't praise the Lord in here, amongst people that should be rooting for you to praise the Lord, you're not doing it. You're not going to do it. Right? It's just not going to happen out there when people are actually going to be against you doing it. There's just some things in this life that you just have to understand. I'm just going to look like a fool for Christ. Because I'd rather look like a fool for Christ than a bunch of other things out there that we'll look like fools for. I mean, you know what was happening all over stadiums today? At NFL football games? People in sometimes sub-zero weather are out there without shirts on, with their bodies painted, wearing crazy stuff to do what? To root on a football team. That's what they were doing today. And some Christians, we won't raise our voices above a peep for the things of God because, well, we might look foolish. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's some things that we should say, you know what, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to look at what the Bible has to say, and I'm going to put it upon my heart. I'm going to ask the Lord to show me and to lead me and to guide me and to say, Lord, let me praise you. And every once in a while, just say something where your neighbor goes, huh? And your family member goes, oh my goodness, what's going on? Right? Why? Because you want to lift up your voice and praise the Lord. You can do it in singing. You can do it in singing. Look in 1 Chronicles 15. Verse number 16, 1 Chronicles 15, 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. I forget how far I'm supposed to go. Look in verse 17. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and his brethren Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, and the sons of Cushiah. Look in verse number 22. And Kenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. Because he was skillful. See, you're like, oh, well, it's only people that are skillful. Those are the only ones that should be doing it. No, that's not true. That's not true. They put someone in charge of the music because that person was skillful and could help direct traffic and help make some sense of what was going on. That's why we have music directors here at our church that are in control of the choir and in control of some of the music and try to keep, figure out what's going on with the specials and try to help put some things together with some small groups and things. Why? Because they're skillful. The Lord has given them some talent, and they're able to say, let's try this way, and let's not try it this way, or let's try to put some things together like this so that we can glorify God and so that we can praise the Lord and so that we can... Listen, I've said this many times. Singing a special and having a certain spot where you're singing to be heard, that needs to be a blessing. Because if it's not a blessing, it can really be a distraction. And that's not the purpose either. And that's not the purpose. The purpose is not to be a distraction. But we can understand that we can also have someone skillful to help lead and organize. And yet, especially in congregational singing, everybody can be involved. So it is a group effort. There were purposes for people being put in charge and being the skillful ones being put in charge of things, but everybody else was able to be involved and to sing out unto the Lord. Look in chapter number 16, verse number 7. Chapter 16, David has appointed some people for music, and he's done these certain things. Look in verse number 7, chapter 16, verse 7. And on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Asaph's one of the men mentioned here. He's mentioned often as being in charge here of some musical things. Look in verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. This is a psalm. This was something to be sung. This was something to put musical instruments to and provide this. Verse number 9. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Look in verse 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day His salvation. What happened? This was a song that was given to some, and they were to perform this song and sing this song. And they didn't sing this song to themselves. They sang the song to others of Israel. It was those that were put in charge of the music, that were put in charge of certain things. And they, at this point, would get a psalm, and then they would sing this psalm to everyone. Well, what was the purpose? The purpose was to encourage and to embolden and to direct their attention to the things of God. And in this psalm, they said, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth." What were they doing? They were encouraging others to sing. They were encouraging, in their song, they were encouraging others to sing out unto the Lord and sing praises unto God. They were appointed for a purpose to do special things and to sing unto the Lord, not to sing and be the only ones, not to just have, you know, corner the market on singing. No, we're the only ones that can sing. You can't sing, just us sing. It wasn't that. It is a time for us to sing so that we can encourage everyone else. And in the Psalms, we're going to see them a bunch of times here, to sing unto God. That when it's time, you're to sing unto God. It's not to get praise of men. That's not why we do it. We don't get up here in small groups and specials and choirs. And those groups don't get up here to sing so that you can go, "Oh man, they're really good. That was pretty great." No, it's to say, listen to what we're singing. Listen to what we're saying. And think on the things of God. And then be encouraged yourself and encouraged to lift up your own voice when we sing the songs and say, let's sing unto God now. Now it's my turn. And now we can sing. It's to be encouraged. It's to get our eyes on the things of the Lord. And it's important. It's important to be able to do. You can praise the Lord with singing. Now turn to the book of Psalms. David talks about it a lot. We're going to look at a decent amount of references here in the book of Psalms. Not all of them, but we're going to look at a decent amount of some references here to follow along so we can see this about singing praise unto the Lord. And we'll see. We're not going to get through a ton of them tonight, but we're going to see that this purpose is not just for the person that is saying it, but it is to the listener. Right? It is to the listener to sing unto the Lord. Look in Psalm chapter number 7. Psalm chapter number 7. Verse 17. Psalm 7, 17. "I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Singing unto the Lord. Singing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Chapter 9, verse number 1. Psalm 9, 1. "I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High." There it is again. "I will sing praise, O Lord, with my whole heart." Do you sing with your whole heart? Or do you just kind of, we'll get through it. It's what we do. We sing the songs first, right? And then we have a break, and then we have announcements, and maybe we have a special. And then we sing again, and then the preacher gets up. And then when he's finally done, then we go home. Right? But no, the Bible says, "I will sing with my whole heart. I will sing unto the Lord with my whole heart, with all that I am, with all of my heart towards the things of God." I'm going to take the songs that the leader has picked out, and we're going to turn to that page, and we're going to be unified together, and we're going to sing these songs unto the Lord. And we have those playing instruments. And they're set aside to do those things. And in their instrument playing, whether it's I just did a violin. So whether it's in the violin, whether they're playing that, whether it's a flute or it's a clarinet or it's a bass guitar or it's an organ or it's a piano or a harp or other instruments that we've seen over here, right? They are playing unto the Lord. It's adding a sound. It's adding music. It's doing those things. We hear it, it's an addition to, but it's at the same time. The instruments are over here, and they're playing unto the Lord. And the instruments here, they're playing unto the Lord. And we've appointed someone as a leader with some skill to stand up and say, "Okay, let's all be together now to do what?" To praise the Lord. And it's all set up, and it's all ready. And all you have to do is just hold the book. And that's all you have to do. You get to hold the book. You hold it. And we turn there, and the words are all there. You might not know what any of those little round things are with flags all over them and all kind. You might not know anything that's going on with us with those lines and everything. Right? You might not really understand that. It doesn't matter. You don't have to understand that to praise the Lord. What is it? We're singing these words unto the Lord. Random turn. He hideth my soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand and covers me there with His hand. Well, that's pretty good. That's just one verse. There's three more. Right? What do we do with those things? We have the ability, we have an option to stand there and we open up the word of the book and what do? It's all set up. We're all ready to go. We're saying, hey, participate now. And what should we do? We should turn our hearts into the things of God and tune our hearts to the things of God and say, I'm going to sing with all my might. I'm going to sing out unto the Lord. You can't help but walk into it. It's just natural. And it's not always 100% true, but man, you walk into a church where the singing is like super dead. Like you start singing on the first verse and you're the loudest person in there by a bunch. And you kick your decibel level back a bunch because you're like, whoa, I don't want to be standing out here. But you feel like, oh man, this could be a long service. You walk into a place where the singing's lively and the people are singing out with their hearts and you're going, man, you know what you're thinking? This is going to be good. You're thinking these people love God. These people want to hear from God. Why? Because of the way that people are singing out under the things of God. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. So, hey, this is the reality. This is the reality of this life that we live, and the song, the consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Right? It's a cross before a crown. That's a whole different message, but the cross we bear down here leads to the crown that we can receive up there. Upon the crystal pavement down at Jesus' pierced feet, joyful I'll cast my golden crown at His dear name, and His dear name repeat. O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. These are just random songs out of the hymn book. What, songs that we can lift up our voices and praise the Lord and say, Lord, I want to sing out unto You with my whole heart. I want to take this opportunity to sing and be heard of You and to let You know that I'm not ashamed to sing unto the Lord. It's not always that way, but it should be that way. It's not always that way where our hearts are stirred and we have the attitude of singing out unto the Lord with all of our might, but it should be that way. Why? Because we're praising the Lord. And as I said before, worship, it can be silent. But praise is always audible. You can always hear someone praising the Lord. It's always making a sound with our mouth and praising the Lord to be heard. That's what it is. And we should do it. And we should look for opportunities to do it. And we should ask God when we should do it. And we should sing out unto the Lord. Let's look in chapter number 13, verse 6. Psalm chapter 13, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Well, I don't really know if I really want to sing out unto the Lord. Well, if you're going to gauge it on how good He's been to you, well, then you owe Him some. I'm going to sing out unto the Lord. Why? Because He's dealt bountifully with me. He's been good to me. So what can I do? Well, I can sing to Him. I can sing out unto Him. I can lift up my voice and sing unto the Lord. Psalm 21. Psalm 21, 13. 21, 13. Be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength, so will we sing and praise Thy power. sing and praise. Why? For His power. Look in chapter 30, verse 12. Psalm 30, verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. How are we supposed to sing? Well, we're supposed to sing and not be silent. Some people try to sing so low that they are silent. I want to sing so low no one can hear me. Praise is audible. Praise is someone else singing. I mean, man, I've been in some church services where you have to sing loud just to hear yourself sing. Those are some good services. Those are some good services to be in where, man, you get encouraged and all of a sudden you're singing just to hear yourself sing and make sure I'm singing where I'm supposed to be. And then all of a sudden you start singing out. The louder you sing out, the better you feel about it. The better you feel about it. Say, well, I don't know about that. I don't know how my neighbors are going to feel about it. Get over yourself. You're praising the Lord. That's their problem. It's not your problem. You know what it is? If someone's standing beside me, not up here, all right? If I'm down there and somebody's standing beside me and or behind me and they're not singing too good, you know what I try to do? Well, maybe I'll sing louder and drown them out. Lord, maybe I'll praise you louder than they are, right? What happens? What? You're just trying to praise the Lord. You're trying to sing out and praise the Lord and not be silent. Not be silent. Look in Psalm 47. Psalm 47, verse number 6. Psalm 47, 6. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto your King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. We're not just aimlessly singing praises. We're singing praises with understanding, with a purpose, with we know what we're doing. We're intending to praise the Lord in these things. We're singing with a purpose in our heart and an intent to praise the Lord as we stand and sing these songs. As you drive in the car, maybe no one else is with you. Sing unto the Lord. Sing out loud unto the Lord. Why? Because it's praising Him. We don't always have to sing in church service just so that someone else hears us or we're meeting some requirement. When it's just you and the Lord, sing. Sing how? Sing out unto the Lord. It's amazing how loud we can get when we're singing by ourselves. It's amazing sometimes how our praise can be loud when we're by ourselves in the car, thanking the Lord or praying unto God or something like that. But yet when we get around people, it's like, well, I can't do that around people. You can. And by being loud enough for people to hear you, you might encourage other people to praise the Lord. Look in chapter 66. We'll end here this evening. Chapter 66, verse number 1. Psalm 66, 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Make His praise glorious. I know it's been made into many a joke, but it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And what kind of noise? Singing forth. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. What is it? It's singing. Singing out unto the Lord. Who's supposed to do it? Everyone's supposed to do it. Yes, we have some structure. We have things set up for a purpose. And we see these things set up for a purpose, and we try to do it because it's a biblical format. It's a biblical format to have those that are skillful lead the singing and lead the music. It's a purpose where some of those that are skillful can lead the songs and sing songs to encourage others. And then it's also biblical when we all sing together unto God and we sing unto Him and we make a joyful noise with our hearts and with our whole hearts and we sing out so that we can do what? So that we can make His praise glorious. That's the purpose. We can make His praise glorious unto His ears. We don't do things just to fill time. I mean, sometimes it feels that way, right? Because we don't change up the schedule that often. Right, sometimes it feels like, man, we hardly even let the Holy Spirit move in here because we have such a rigid schedule and we do the same things all the time. But man, what the Lord can do in our hearts if we sang out unto the Lord to give Him praise and understood what we were doing and why we were doing it. And what the Lord can do in our own hearts and our own spirits and with those that are around us if we were singing unto the Lord and singing out with praise unto God with our hearts and with our lips and singing out unto Him, making a joyful noise to make His praise glorious. What a blessing that would be. What a blessing it would be. Brother Johnson, if you wouldn't mind just picking out a song we can just close with. It's a good one that we can close with. And, you know, this whole thing, we're going to look at some more verses here about singing. We're going to go into the New Testament and look what the Bible has to say about singing and making melody in our hearts and doing these things unto the Lord. It's for a purpose. Listen, I'll say it again. The intent of doing this series is not to have some type of goal where we want our church to be at some decibel level, and that decibel level will please the Lord. You understand that, right? That's not the idea where we say, well, if we can just be this loud in our singing, then we're really praising the Lord. No, because we can do... Listen, our flesh is good at doing a whole bunch of things and kind of ruining a good thing, right? We can do things in the flesh and not be in the right spirit. But there is something to be said, and there's a biblical principle to singing unto the Lord with volume and to being an active participant in congregational singing and a time where we can praise the Lord and sing out unto the Lord. There's an opportunity for us to do that, and we should do that, and that precedent should be set for us to do those things. And boy, it feels good to praise the Lord. Because when we're praising the Lord, there's less self involved. There's less self and there's more of Him. And there's more opportunity for us to put the flesh down and say, Lord, I want to praise You where You're worthy of it. And I want to praise You with my mouth. And I want to praise You with my singing. And I want to praise You because You're worthy. It's good to do. It's good to do. Let's go ahead and sing a song in closing and just sing unto the Lord. Whatever Brother Johnson picks out here, piano player, come forward. Thank you for doing that. And then, Brother Johnson, when you're done, can you just close us in prayer? All right, thank you.
Hey, it's not down here. It's just not down here. It's up there. 498, when we all get to heaven. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout to victory. 498. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all